make sure that I extend that invitation. And I know that we did send out a letter, and I want you to feel more than welcome to attend that. I'm going to talk a little bit about my family and our joyous surrender. And this has definitely been a process. I grew up in a very Christian, good Christian home. Parents took us to church sometimes 3, 4, and 5 times a week. And, you know, they really did lead a good life for me and my brothers. And, you know, even though they had to put up with 3 sons, or maybe the other 2, not so much me, but no, I think I am responsible for a few of the gray hairs, definitely. You know, they definitely taught me the biblical tithe. Now, here's the thing. The biblical tithe that I've been doing until this revelation that I'm going to share with you, that was done out of obligation. And I can tell you, if it's out of obligation, if it's done out of obligation, it's not cheerful and it's not joyous. Okay, so that's something I want to share with you today. This full surrender, let me go ahead and start with Elizabeth and I, my beautiful wife over here. She married him and has put up with me for a long time. And amen. And she came when we brought our economic thoughts together as a family, you know, the joining of accounts and so forth, she did not understand the tithe, which I didn't either at that time because it was an obligation. All right. And I remember writing those checks and putting money in the offering plate. She looked over me and she go, "Well, what are you doing? I mean, are you serious?" You know, like looking over the shoulder and says, "It's okay, it's okay. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do this, you know. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do." Well, what happened is one day at a Christmas party, I saw this book floating around, and it was by David Ramsey. And I know we have a financial peace course and all those things. We have taken that, but this was before that. This has, you know, been 5, 6 years ago. And I grabbed that thing and started to read it. She would, like, kind of graze over it. It wasn't very interesting. I'm kind of the nerd. She's the more free spirit. Likes to be the spender. I like to save. So I dissected the thing. Did our own budget, and I said, "Hey, babe, look at this." I said, "We are spending $40 more a month than what we make." And she goes, "Oh, what do you mean? You know, we got $1,500 in the savings account, and, you know, I mean, we're fine. And yeah, and we also got $35,000 in consumer debt." That doesn't work. $35,000 consumer debt, cars, education loans, credit cards. All right. So after reading that, over a short amount of time, and we started that process of paying down debt. Still didn't have that revelation yet, but knew that something was being brought into our life that was different. Finally, I got to a point where it was so stressful, I just surrendered to God. I said, "You know what, Lord?" I said, "I'm done with this." I said, "Me Incorporated's getting fired, and you're taking the driver's seat. Step in, CEO Christ." All right, because here's the deal. It wasn't working. It wasn't working financially, all right, vehicles, home. None of it was working. So fired myself, step in. Jesus Christ, it's great. Now, with that came that joyous surrender. With that came not tithing out of obligation, but getting to. Not have to, but getting to. All right, there's a difference there. Here's the real statement is, we tithe and gave our way out of debt. Now, that's definitely confusing. All right, everybody's thinking, "Now, wait a minute." Okay, going back into math, all right, subtraction, addition, all that stuff, that doesn't really work. Tithe and gave our way out of debt, okay? Well, and I know John's going to touch on this, but it's blessed money. Blessed money. Does everybody understand that money, even though it's a neutral, it goes all throughout the world, it's dirty, okay? Not just by touch. All right, it goes through a lot of different change and cycles back. It comes back. It could go through black market filtration. I mean, the whole 9 yards. Sometimes it doesn't have a lot of cleanliness to it. But when you give it to God, when you give it to Him, it's for you. It's the blessing back to you, and it's blessed money. All right, that's something to think about. Now, one of the revelations that I had, this was a few weeks ago, maybe even last Sunday,
John had asked me to speak, and I thought, oh, man, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, standing in front of all these people, you know. I mean, I'm used to maybe a little bit smaller groups or nobody, you know. So this is definitely a tough thing. But so I started praying as I was going home in my truck, God's truck. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden he drops this in on me. The true steward owns nothing but has access to everything. Let that soak in. The true steward owns nothing but has access to everything. Okay? Remember, I fired me. Step in, new CEO. He's in control. I love getting in Jesus' truck every day and rolling in that thing. I love it. I love stepping into his house because it's easy. Remember, yoke's easy, burden's light. When it was all me, it wasn't working out. Elizabeth can attest to that. It was not working out. That went, and it spilled into everything, people. It spilled into everything in our lives with, you know, careers, with our children. You know, it's they didn't hand me a manual when they were born. Did anybody else get one? Because I missed that place. I didn't get a manual. I didn't get one that says, this is a step-by-step, and your kids are going to be excellent. That's great. I never got that. All right? So Christ has had to bring the manual into our life. And it's not perfect. Guess what? It's a mess, just like we were in. God loves your mess. He loved my mess. He loves your mess. Everybody has a mess. Everybody has a mess, and he loves your mess. But here's the thing. This is the truth. When you wake up every day and you are a believer, you truly are surrendering yourself to the Lord every day. You've already made that commitment. You've already made that commitment. You only got to do it once. You don't have to redo it. Christ does not have to go back to the cross again. He's done it once, and it's the greatest miracle, and it's for everybody. You only got to do it once, but every day you get up and say, Lord, this is you. I'm going to drive your truck. Hope you're okay with that. Okay, I'm going to go to your job, and I'm going to witness in your name. And then when it's all said and done, you're going to love me. You're going to love me. If you feel like God can't clean up your mess, I'm here to tell you today that he can. I'm here to tell you that he can clean up your mess, whether it's finances. And I'm telling you, it will start if you can receive this revelation. Now, here's the thing. I never want you to give anything, to do anything out of obligation. Don't be tied to the have to. Be tied to the get to. You get to. And that's the thing. I know we have 90-day challenges. We have financial peace. We have all these great programs and things in place. All right? But here's the deal. If the Lord owns it all and we're the steward, then why do we think at times that we can't have this or we can't have that? And the tithe, if that's your first fruits, it's blessed money, it will take off. I don't know how it happens. I can't explain the multiplication of God. I cannot explain it. But it is not human math. Just like I told you, we tithe and we gave our way out of debt. I can't explain that. I don't know how that happened. But slowly, 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 and every day, we gave to him, gave to him. I know a few of you were here, or many of you, when we did the video of Elizabeth cutting up her, she was with this credit card longer than me. This credit card, yeah, almost married to it. What was it, honey, like 18 years or something? I don't know. It was crazy. She said, I get 8% on this. I said, you kidding me? I like zero. So it just happened to be, this was great. Everybody ever seen Braveheart, the old freedom cry? All right, well, it was Chase Freedom. So when she cut it up, we had to yell freedom. Freedom! We had that on video. I don't know if it's lost or stacked up there somewhere. But, you know, what breaking of the chain. Now, here's the deal. We're still not all the way through our steps, all right, and leading into steps that we're going to talk about here. You know, we still have a mortgage. That's our only debt, all right? But every single time we are faithful to the Lord, and he just shows up. I don't know how to explain it. I can't give you any kind of a secret, anything, but just surrender to him. It's a lot easier to sit in the passenger seat and let somebody else drive it. That's the toughest thing that we can do as humans. That's the toughest thing that we can do as humans. And remember, the miracle of your finances or your mess, whatever it might be that you're praying for, that you're wanting to get out of, that miracle, remember, the ones that we think are huge, walking on water, raising from the dead, feeding 5,000, I mean, we can keep going, parting Red Sea, I mean, hold on, go away, blind sea, healed. That's the thing, that's one thing about Christ. All through the Gospels, nobody could ever die or be sick around him. The one thing that was a struggle was what? Belief. Belief was a struggle. And that's still the struggle today. It's still the struggle today. That's why we have all these open doors, you and me, to reach the lost. That's the struggle. That's the ultimate miracle, getting there, because Christ has already given us exactly what we need. He's already given us exactly what we need. He's armed us. Okay, going into our step, please get out of your bulletin the step, Grow One Step program. Speaking of steps and climbing down them, whatever. Now, if you could grab a pen, we have here a Grow One Step program. Okay. Now, being a data person at times, you've got to look at things and see, okay, what could I do in this situation? Okay, where are we at, and what are we going to do? So I'm going to give you some figures that you can write in these steps. I'm going to start off with the first one, all right? And before we do this, I want to tell you what these are. These are member household numbers. It's not individuals. It would be households. So, for example, Elizabeth and I would be considered one household, all right, when it comes to giving or tithing. And This is through membership household only. So I think we have 285 households. Am I correct on that? Yes. Around 285, 286. We have between 600 and 700 people, individuals, that show up. So I know that, well, why wouldn't a number be 600 or 700, Dave? That's not the case. It just went on the membership piece, okay? So when you look at apples and apples, it's not all the way across the board, but at least gives us a projection, an idea. Okay, let's go ahead and start. First one, a zero, is 87. Okay? So write that in, 87 on the first step. Now, our second step, going into 1 cent up to $4.99 per week, is 35. Okay? Now, I've got an issue. I really like food. Anybody else have that? And that, to me, right there, if I'm going to grow one step in that situation, I'm going to have to knock out that value meal, which I know I think they're a little bit more than $4.99 right now, but just that one value meal a week, just one, just that one value meal a week, all right, or that extra stuff that you get at the gas station after you fill up. Next one here, $5 to $9.99 is 18, okay, 18, all right. Elizabeth, we're going to have to cut out the pizza on Saturdays. We're going to have to just get something out of the fridge. Yeah, Sam, sorry, you like cheese pizza. He's not understanding that right now. What do you mean? Going into our next one, 10. To $19.99. 28. 28. Next step, 20 to $29.99. 28. Okay. Next one, 30 to $39.99 is 14. Next step, 40 to $49.99 is 8. Next step, 50 to $74.99. This is weekly giving, is 18. 75 to $99.99 is 13. 100 to $149.99 is 17. 150 to $199.99 is 7. And the last step there, 200 and up per week is 11. Okay. Now, what this does is, you, over the next few weeks, you could take this home. Okay, you have some figures here. All right, this is for you. This is for you to look at on this chart. Where might I fall, and where may God take me to when it comes to the challenge of growing one step?
Okay, this is not to find out who's where.
It's not that, all right? This is just a measuring stick so that we are all kind of in the open of where do we stand? Where do I possibly stand with this? Okay, there's no individuals here, you know, households. We don't know who these are. I have no idea. I was just given these numbers of members for the stair step, okay? So when taking a look at that, see where you're at and see where that challenge might be that the Lord might lead you into. Okay, God bless everybody.
God is good.
Thanks, brother.
Did want to encourage you to flip it over to the backside. It'll help you understand. If you take a look at your income, you take a look at the percentage that you give, it'll break it down into what it looks like per week. And that way you can find yourself on this stair step and pray about the idea of, okay, God, what percentage of my income are you calling me to give? And that's exactly what we believe God is going to continue to do over the course of the next few weeks. We are living in this sermon series called Multiply, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about your finances when it comes to mathematics, because we're going to talk about math, and we're going to talk about money, and we're going to talk about our finances. Now, let me ask you, when it comes to your income, have you ever experienced addition? Okay? Now, I mean, like, you got like a surprise check from grandma for your birthday, like $50 was in there, or, you know, all of a sudden the government paid you back, praise be to God, right? And you got a tax return you didn't expect. Have you ever experienced addition? Raise your hands if you've ever experienced addition in your income. You got a raise you weren't expecting. Okay. Now, how many of you has experienced some subtraction? We're talking about math here, right? Who's experienced some subtraction in your finances? Yeah, you get this bank statement. You're thinking, man, there's a whole lot less in there than there was last week, honey. And you experienced some subtraction. I bet some of you probably experienced some division in your finances. Who's experienced some division? Now, those of you who aren't raising your hands, evidently you've never had children before, okay? Because when you have kids and when you get married and there's more people in your household, you kind of have to start to divide things out. And also, when you're married, the number one conflict and cause for divorce in the world today is money and finances. So maybe from time to time there's been a little division in your relationship because of money, conversations around money. Today we want to talk about what does it mean to worship a God who's not into subtraction, a God who's not into addition, he's not into division, that he's a God of multiplication. Our God is a God of multiplication. So we're going to look in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to discover two principles that we're going to learn to put into practice. And if we do, God promises to multiply our resources for his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and to bring untold blessings around our family that go well beyond just finances. We're going to talk about today loaves and fishes. You guys ready to dive into one of my favorite pieces of scripture that ever has existed? Is the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 9 and verse 12. And you're going to get like a shot out of a cannon because I'm going to get you out of here sometime today. I promise. All right? It says, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send a crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages, countryside, and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here. And he replied, this is Jesus speaking, you give them something to eat, he said to the disciples. They answered, hey, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. And 5,000 men were there. Now notice this only says 5,000 men. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so. Everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. Jesus gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Here's what I love about this story. This is one of the largest crowds, the largest crowd that Jesus ever preached to in his public ministry. As a matter of fact, because it says 5,000 men, we can know that there were probably 20,000 people there, including women and children. So Jesus is preaching and teaching to 20,000 people, and somehow, amazingly and miraculously enough, he knows exactly how many people to feed. Because not only does he feed everybody there, but there's 12 doggy bags left over. How many disciples are there? There's 12 disciples. And so not only did he get everybody fed, but each disciple gets to take a doggy bag home. Praise be to God. I mean, how cool is that? Did you know that this is the largest group of people he ever preached to, even larger than when he gave the Sermon on the Mount? And I want you to visualize. Let's say you're one of the disciples and you're in the huddle. You're in Jesus' holy huddle. You're going with him everywhere. You're seeing him baptizing people, changing lives. You're seeing him bring blessings into people's lives. You're seeing the blind see and the lame are walking. He's turning water into wine. He's walking on water. He's healing people. And so naturally, you're getting on social media and you're tweeting this stuff out to your friends on Twitter and you're saying, man, you got to come out and hear this Messiah guy who every time he preaches, doves fly out of his mouth and lives get changed. and you're on Facebook, and you're posting on Facebook, and you're getting in group text messages with 100 of your closest friends, and guess what happens? The next day is the event. It's Sunday morning, and 20,000 of your closest friends show up, your friends and family. They show up, and Jesus starts preaching. He starts preaching at about 11 a.m., and he's going on and on. He's preaching, and he's just getting all lathered up, and he's preaching, and all of a sudden, it's 1 o'clock. And he continues to preach, and now it's 2 o'clock, and now it's 3 o'clock, and now it's 4 o'clock, and you look at your watch, and you say, I miss the Bengals playing. I miss the Browns playing. By the way, if you miss the Browns playing, God bless you. That's a gift. I mean, my goodness. Woo! I mean, you got the Indians, and you got the Cavs, and then you have the Browns. All right. But anyways, you get the picture. I mean, this is going on into the afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Now it's going into the second game of the day. And pretty soon stores are going to be closing. What in the world are the disciples going to do? And the disciples kind of start to panic. Now what? What are we going to do? Well, listen, whenever you're worried and whenever you have an issue, you grab other people and you form a committee. That's what you do. You form a committee when you have something that you're frustrated with or you're upset about. You need to get other people on your side, and they start to get together and say, what are we going to do? It's going to be nighttime soon. I didn't get the chance to set my DVR. I'm not going to be able to watch the Lions play this afternoon, which, by the way, is another gift. Okay? I didn't set my television set. And so one of them in that group speaks up as you're standing there, as we're picturing ourselves as one of the disciples, and I'm sure it's got to be Peter, because I can relate to Peter a lot, because Peter is always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I mean, Peter was always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and I'm sure Peter spoke up in that group, and he says, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm starving. When do we get something to eat up in this place? And so here's what they decide. They decide, hey, listen, we're hungry, but let's go to Jesus and tell him that everybody else must be hungry, because we need to let Jesus know that we care for the people. Right? And so they kind of devise this plan, and all of a sudden everybody's looking at you because you get the chance to be the spokesperson. You're going to be the one to go up and tap Jesus on the shoulder. He's been 6 hours into a sermon, and you're going to be the one to go tap him on the shoulder. Hey, say, Jesus, slow down for a second. Let's have a conversation. And so as you approach Jesus, you're tapping him on the shoulder, and you say, excuse me, Lord, it's been a great day. You give Jesus a high five and says, man, you have done a great job preaching an entire quarter's worth of sermon series today in one day. Praise be to God. You've gotten all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation in this moment. I mean, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you give Jesus a high five and you look at him and say, Jesus, don't you know that maybe we ought to let the people go and send them out into the towns before everything closes and so that they can get something to eat? And Jesus looks at you and says, oh, okay, cool. You're concerned about the people needing to get something to eat. Fantastic. Why don't you guys feed them? He says, yeah, you guys feed them. And you're like, what? We can't feed 20,000 people. He says, yes, you and your merry little band of brothers over there that have kind of built this committee to decide that you're concerned about the people, so why don't you go and why don't you feed them? Now, can you imagine you have to report back to the committee? You get to go back to the committee and have that conversation with the other 11 disciples. And you get to say to them, and they're with anticipation, say, okay, we're letting the people go. How'd it go? What did he say? And he says he wants us to feed them. What? 20,000 people? Shh! Jesus will hear you. The crowd's going to enter. There's 20,000 people here. Are you kidding me? What? We don't have enough to feed him. And one of the guys says, I don't know. I don't know if we can feed him, but maybe if we take this lunch from Long John Silver's that this kid has, you know, he's got 2 fish planks in here and 5 Cheddar Bay biscuits. Okay. Now, wait a minute. You're saying, John, you're tripping here because that's Red Lobster. You know this because you've been there before, right? Just play with me here for a second. I mean, just take it with me, all right? 2 fish planks, 5 biscuits, all right? And say, maybe we take this bag to him and we say, this is all we have, and then we'll be scot-free and he'll send everybody to go. I mean, this is how committees process things. This is how we get things done in committees, right? Sends them out. You go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, well, this is all we have. I guess that calls it. That's it. We need to dismiss everybody. And he says, okay, fine. Now you go and organize them in groups of 50. This will do. You're thinking, have you hit your head, Jesus? A bag of groceries? He said, you sit them down in groups of 50. Now, here's the problem with that. Many of these people are your friends. They're your family members. You remember? You kind of tweeted out to them, and you kind of said, this is what's going on, and this is the information that you need. And so many of your friends are about to sit down and eat, and you're ringing the dinner bell for them. You're ringing the dinner bell, and they're thinking, okay, somebody's going to feed us, and now it's just, you're realizing maybe this is not going to be enough. And somehow you're promising that you're going to feed these 20,000 people. And you have to sit them down in 50s. Now, I don't know if you've ever organized 20,000 people in groups of 50s, but that takes some time. That takes some time. And man, it's just crazy in this moment where you think, how in the world are we going to seat 20,000 people in groups of 50s? Because everyone's going to listen, right? Everyone's going to come alongside of and do this thing, right? And they say, well, you're going to feed us. Someone probably looks up at you. And now, the disciples figured out, well, maybe he's going to pray. Maybe Jesus is going to pray over this thing, and maybe it's going to multiply right in front of our eyes like it did for Elijah back in the Old Testament, because when Elijah prayed over 20 loaves of bread, it fed 100 men. When he prayed over 20 loaves of bread, it fed 100 men, and maybe there'll just be a pile of food that appears right in front of our eyes. And Luke... doing up there? We got it? All right. Thanks for your patience, guys. And loaves and fishes, right? Batteries multiply. And so here he's like, don't take so much. Hey, not so much over here. And then he gets to the end and he's giving out the last piece of bread, and all of a sudden it multiplies in front of him and everybody has enough to eat. Now, how about that as you picture just standing there that day and what God can do when he feeds 20,000 people? So here's two principles of multiplication that we're going to grab from this, and then we're going to get out of here, right? Number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Now, you can find these in your notes, in your bulletin. You can go to the YouVersion Bible app, go to events. We'll be right there for you. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. Now, watch. If they had passed it out before Jesus blessed it, it would have not been multiplied. It was only multiplied because Jesus blessed it. That's what happens when you take water and you put it into the hands of a Savior. All of a sudden, H2O becomes a fermented beverage that's pleasing to the palate. You see, when you take dirt and you put it in the hands of Jesus and he spits in it, all of a sudden it becomes a balm to heal a blind man. And when you take loaves and fishes, you put them into the hands of our Savior, and he blesses them. It becomes enough to feed 20,000 people. That's what happens when you take what you have and you put it in the hands of God and Jesus Christ so he can bless it and he can multiply it. Remember, God must be first. We talked about that last week, the principle of firsts. Number two, it has to be given away before it can multiply. Number one was, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be given away, secondly, before it can multiply. Now, if the disciples took the bread and fish and took it to Jesus and he blessed it, and then they ate, there wouldn't have been enough left over for everybody else because it wouldn't have multiplied. They weren't to eat first. It needed to be blessed, and then it needed to be given away. And when it was given away, and not until they gave it away, not until it left their hands, only then did it multiply. Now, I think people are in three different categories when it comes to financial matters, and it comes to giving our whole life in a joyous surrender to God. I believe that in the first category, there are just people that are just financially desperate. We're just struggling left and right. Our finances aren't making sense. We're praying for a miracle in our life, but we're not taking anything and putting it into God's hands. We're not taking any of our finances and putting it into the one who's the great provider of all miracles in our life. We're not practicing the principle of the firsts. We maybe give a little bit here. We may give a little bit there, but we're not putting the tithe in God's hands. And he can't bless what we don't put in his hands. He can't multiply it. Maybe there's a second category of us that some of us, maybe we have the capacity to tithe. We have the capacity to start with the first 10%, but we don't because we consume it all. Right, Dave? We don't because we consume it all. Not only are we spending everything that comes in, we're spending more than what comes in. Did you hear what he said? I hope, because this speaks to half of the room here today, because probably half of you are in this category. Not only are you spending everything that comes in, but some of you, you're living bottom under. I mean, you're underwater because you're spending $40 more a month, like they were, 10 years ago than is what's coming in. And it's killing you. It's killing your marriage. It's killing your heart, your soul. You're living in fear. You have the capacity to give, but we're consuming it all. We're eating the loaves and fishes before we ever hand any of it out. And we cannot have God bless what we're not willing to put in his hands. He can't multiply it. Number three, maybe we're one of those people where maybe we're tithing, but we've become so comfortable that we're not being stretched anymore. And we're not giving above and beyond because God's saying you need to give to this and you need to give to that. And we're like, no, I'm doing a tithe thing. I'm good. Listen, he can't multiply what we don't put in his hands. And what it means is we need to be rethinking the mathematics of God's economy. Rethinking the mathematics of God's economy. Let me break down a little math on you, and this is how it plays. You see, for a lot of us, we're struggling because we're living in the land of addition. We believe that happiness is just on the other side of making more, earning more, or getting more. I know I'm talking to some of the right folk here today. And what happens is we get consumed by the more monster. We believe that if I can only make more, get more, or if I can earn more, then I'm going to find happiness. But the only problem is there are people making less than you that think if they can achieve what you're making, then they'll be happy. Only you're not happy with what you make. Now, the people that make more than you, you're looking at them saying, I'll be happy once I get there. But the problem is, guess what? They're not happy either. Because they're hoping to be able to make the next price bracket. You want to know what the more monster is? It's never satiated. It's never fulfilled. It never feels like it's done. It's just sitting there, and it's groveling, and it's crying out to you, and it's grabbing a hold of you. And there's the reason why it's called the more monster, because we believe in the power of more. And when we believe in the power of more, if I can only get more, make more, or earn more, then we become stingy. We become filled with fear. You know, we become miserly. Did you know the root word for the word miserable? It's miser. Think about it for a second. We become miserable, and everybody around us is because all we're doing is looking how to make a next buck or a penny off of the person next to us, and we're not feeling blessed. That's what happens when we live in addition. Now, when we start to think about giving, and the pastor preaches on giving, and you read in the scriptures about God talking about giving, all of a sudden it feels like subtraction, and that's where we kind of get a little bit irritated, agitated, and uncomfortable. Because listen, I know, Pastor, you're saying, hey, listen, you need to bring the tithe because that's what God says, the first 10% is his. And I know it goes through your mind, you're thinking, I'm making $40,000 a year. 40,000 minus 4 is what? 36,000. You guys are pretty good with subtraction. Praise be to God. But that's how we view it. That's how we look at it. We start looking at our bills. We start saying, gosh, I can't pay this, this, and this, and then have enough left over to be able to buy what I want to be able to buy if I give to God first. And so we treat it as subtraction. And so that's what happens when faith is supplanted by fear. Fear takes over. And I'm glad the young people are here today, because you want to know what? It starts when we're younger. It starts when we're in our 9s, 10s, 11s, 12s, teenagers, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, 19. If we can get it right when we're young, we can be set up for the rest of our life with an amazing life of joy-filled surrender. It starts now before the money even starts coming in. And so we got to rethink the mathematics in God's economy, because our God is not a God of addition. He's not a God of subtraction. Our God is not a God of division. Our God is a God of multiplication, because with him, 5 plus 2 equals 20,000, remainder 12.
Hallelujah.
5 plus 2 equals 20,000, remainder 12, because our God is a God of multiplication. And so this mind shift means that we need to move out of this fear-filled conversation and move to a faith-filled understanding of God's promises. And that in his hands, with his blessings, there's no limit to what he can do. We are not bound by human laws, because we have a God in our life that is not bound by the human syndrome of addition and subtraction. You see, his math is about addition. I mean, it is about multiplication. Tithing is not subtraction. It is multiplication. He is a God of multiplication. Now, the problem is you can't multiply zero. Anything that you put up against zero is always going to register zero. It requires an amount on our part to be able to put into his hands for him to be able to bring an amazing blessing. And if you do this, there's going to be two things that will happen in your life. Number one, you will have a new outlook on your finances. You won't be living in fear. You'll be living with a newfound joy. You'll feel blessed in your life. You feel grateful. Don't take it from me. Ask Dave. He just told his story. That's his story. That's Elizabeth's story. That's what happens with generosity. See, what generosity beats up the more monster. And when generosity comes along and beats up the more monster, you're not consumed about getting the next thing, getting ahead of somebody else. You're content, and you watch what God does. Number two, you will experience God's miraculous provision. That's God's promise. You will experience God's miraculous provision. When you put yourself and your finances and your whole life out there in front of God in a joyous surrender, it's a huge step of faith. And whenever you take a huge step of faith, you get to watch God come through and show you his faithfulness. It happened for me and for Aaron. You know, when we were first married, we were giving just a little bit here and there. We'd just drop whatever was in our wallet in the offering plate, maybe a $10 bill or a $20 bill, but we never really paid attention to what a true tithe was. We never sat down and calculated our income and said, here's the first 10%. In 1997, our eyes were opened to the principle of the firsts, and we tithed in that moment. And it was hard, and we struggled, but we stuck to it. And we moved beyond addition and subtraction, and we started living in multiplication, and we did it in the name of God. We just obeyed, and we just did it. As a result, God was opening the floodgates in our life. He called us into ministry at that time. We went off to seminary. We bought a house, and he was providing for us all along the way, despite a major illness and other challenges that came into my wife Erin's life. And an illness that really rocked us on the back of our heels and didn't know if I was going to be able to finish school or not. And then in 2001, as God continued to provide, God said, it's time for you to get out of debt. He said, it's time for you to stop spending all this money that you don't have, because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. And you can't be owned by God and also be owned by lenders, institutions, and creditors, because you can't be owned by anybody else. God wants to own your life. And so we started getting out of debt. We started paying down on credit cards, cars, and school loans, and we paid them off in chunks, and we became debt-free in 2010. Praise be to God. God did that. And so during that time, we always kept tithing. We, too, tithed and gave our way out of debt. And God just blessed us left and right. You know, we didn't try to add up the human math, the addition and subtraction. We just put it in God's hands and trusted him for it, that God was going to take care of us. We started paying cash for things. We started paying cash for a camper, cash for cars. I praise God, we have four vehicles. They're all 111,000 miles or more, and we own every single one of them. Praise be to God. I love them. I love our used vehicles, and because we own them, and there's no more freeing feeling in the whole world. And one day God, even later, said, God, John, I want you to be a giver. He said, well, we do give. We give the first 10%. We give the tithe. He says, no, that's mine. You can't give me what is not yours. I want you to return the tithe to me, but I also want you to give above and beyond. And so we started taking it to a whole other level. We were giving at Christmas time to Christmas families. We continue to give to places like World Vision and raising up children there. We've aged out three or four different children since then. Operation Christmas Child, bed nets, monthly debt reduction for our facility here that we go above and beyond. And because of all of this, our marriage has been blessed. Our children are blessed. We've been blessed fiscally. We've been blessed in every way, shape, or imagine. And it's always been there. It's always been there. That's because 5 plus 2 equals 20,000, remainder 12. There's always been enough there for us. And it just multiplies. And it comes back to us with floodgates, the floodgates of heaven pouring out a blessing that we haven't even had a chance to contain in our own lives, because we found that we can't outgive God. You see, it's never going to add up if you try to add it up. It's only going to multiply when you put it in God's hands. Here's a couple of action steps. Number one, we serve a God who says 5 plus 2 equals 20,000, remainder 12. So let's put him to the test. He tells us to put him to the test. I want to encourage you to write on the back of your connection card, 90-day tithe challenge, and you say, I'm going to step up, and I'm going to try the tithe for 90 days. I'm not going to add it up. I'm not going to do the addition and subtraction. I'm going to trust the God of multiplication. I'm just going to do it, because you just got to try it. And I'm going to add it up. I'm going to look at my finances. I'm going to say, this is what's coming in. This is 10%, and I'm going to just try it for 90 days. And what will happen is that God is going to develop a pattern of a habit of blessing in your life. But if for some reason after 90 days, if you're not more blessed, if you feel more broken than you've ever been before, you come talk to us and we'll give you every dime of it back if you've given in an accountable way. It's a money back guarantee. Who wouldn't want to try that? And watch what God could do. Listen, the church doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money, but you need to give it, because it will change your life and your attitude. Number two, take the next step in your giving. Grow one step on that chart. Take that chart home with you that David told us about. Number three, take Financial Peace University. Write Financial Peace University on the back of your card. It changed the Roof's life. It's changed our life, and it can change yours. We've got a new class starting up on the 27th in a week. And also make sure that you put down October 30th in your calendar. And make sure you're here this Sunday, but also for sure next Sunday, to watch what God can do. Because we serve a God of multiplication. We serve a God where 5 plus 2 equals 20,000, remainder 12. Praise be to God. I want to invite you to fill out a connection card. And the connection cards are these blue cards that are in your bulletin. So I want you to take those out right now. And I'd like to invite our ushers to get ready to take up God's tithes and our offerings. And when you take out this connection card, there's an opportunity for you, if you've been here for a while. If you've been here for a while, you've been coming, just make sure your name gets on there so we know that you're here and we can continue to follow up on you. If you're new or there's some information that we're missing that you know of, please make sure you fill this out in its entirety. Make sure you include your mobile number as well, and also your mobile number provider, so that we can be sending some text messages to you from time to time. Turn it over, and on the back side of your on your back side of your connection card is a great place to go deeper and to get connected. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ before, and today is the day that God is calling you to surrender your life to Him. Maybe you've never been baptized before, and you're ready for the waters of baptism. Mark that, and we would love to follow up with you and talk to you about that. You can mark Get to Know Rolling Plains. It's a time to be able to know our pastors. Starting Point, we've got another class we'll be starting up shortly. And then Shape, which is a great place right now on Wednesdays at 6:30 to discover how God's wired you for His work of ministry. Make sure that you also put in Financial Peace University and TJ Williams to follow up with you, and we'll get you into that next class. I believe it starts on the 27th of October. So we're going to take these, we're going to put them in the offering baskets. And so ushers, you want to come forward. As we pass out the offering baskets today, let this be reminded that this is an opportunity for us to give first to God, to give our best to God, to have it be a joy-filled surrender. And when we give, God uses it to do all kinds of kingdom ministry, like ministering to our teens, our young people, who on Friday night get a chance to come to this church and have an experience end zone. Or get a chance to come here on a Sunday night and to have their lives blessed through Bo's ministry and through Heather's ministry and our children's ministry and youth ministry, because God is using what He's calling you to give to change the world for His Son, Jesus. Let's give God our best. Amen? Amen.